Well, hello. It is great to see you all. And what we're going to kick it off with today is I'm going to invite you to close your eyes and use your imagination. So go ahead and close your eyes and picture Jesus. Picture Jesus in your mind. Do you see him? Maybe you see him walking along with dusty sandals by the sea, you know, children coming up to him, smiling maybe at you. For me, I often picture Jesus with his arms outstretched, giving me a big hug. Or maybe you picture Jesus in his glory, his face, you know, shining like the sun, full of power. Do you see Jesus? Well, you know, how we picture Jesus, it actually tells us a lot about our relationship with him. But that's a talk for another day. Today, I just want you to notice that when we picture, when we imagine Jesus in our minds, we picture him in a human body, right? A body. When I say picture Jesus, none of us think of a unicorn or like a giant lizard. You know, we don't often think of like just some great spirit or energy floating around. No, when I say picture Jesus, you picture a human, a guy, kind of like me, probably better looking, but a guy. That's what we picture when we say picture Jesus. You know, that is our first profound truth for the day, that Jesus has a body. He does, he has a body. When God Almighty chose to make himself known to us, he did so in a human body. That's the miracle of Christmas. Bodies just might be important to God. You know, maybe you haven't noticed this, but you've got a human body. We all do. And our bodies are pretty important when it comes to following Jesus. They are. Our bodies are important. They matter. And I got to be honest with you, that's a truth that I've struggled with a little bit in my life. I think for me, I have some of that ancient Greek philosophy going on where, you know, the body just wasn't important. Body bad, spirit good. You know, some of that is mixed in with my thinking. And I had a serious aha moment as I was going through the First Apprentice book. Now, the Apprentice books are discipleship books. They're books that are intended to help us get past our imaginary, our false views of God, and actually meet the real God that Jesus talks about. At the end of each chapter, there is a soul training exercise. And the first spiritual exercise in the book, it's not prayer or fasting or meditation or solitude, it's sleeping. Sleeping! That's just pure genius. Seriously, because when I'm exhausted, I really can't function. No, you know, my wife might say something to me like, "I love you," and I'll probably ignore her. Or maybe just grunt at her. Ugh. I mean, seriously, how is God going to get through to me when that's going on? You know, and this is serious, if you feel distant from God right now, if God feels like he's a long way off, how have you been sleeping? Because I bet, you know, 5 bad nights of sleep and most people will turn into an atheist. Yeah. Our bodies are pretty important when it comes to following Jesus. It goes on in that Apprentice book. It says this: the human person is not merely a soul housed in a body. Our bodies and souls are unified. If our bodies suffer, so do our souls. We cannot neglect the body in pursuit of spiritual growth. In fact, neglecting our bodies necessarily impedes our spiritual growth. Everything we do in our lives, including the practice of spiritual formation, we do in and with our bodies. If our bodies are not sufficiently rested, our energies will be diminished and our ability to pray, read the Bible, enter solitude, or memorize scripture will be minimized. Our bodies are important. Okay, so if we're followers of Jesus, we're like his apprentice, you know, his students, his disciples, then in theory, we should kind of look like him, right? I mean, if somebody today, let's say a normal person who's not following Jesus, they wanted to see kind of what Jesus was like, well, they should be able to look at, they should be able to check out Jesus's followers and get a picture, not a perfect picture, but a picture of what Jesus looks like. Is this really what Jesus looks like? Because many, many Western Christians, this is what we look like. And, you know, maybe our body shape is more or less like Homer's, but in the way we treat our bodies, you know, the slothful neglect, the sedentary abuse that we give our bodies, Homer is our guy. He is our guy. See, why is this? I mean, should we look like this? Let's see a show of hands. How many people think exercise is good for you? Come on, don't be too lazy to raise your hand. Come on, let's get a little exercise for our arms here. Everybody knows that exercise is good for you. There is no shortage of experts telling us that exercise is good for us. That, in fact, treating our bodies like Homer is really bad for us. It's bad for all of us, collectively, economically. Public enemy number one in terms of economic cost is obesity. We, together, spend in America over $200 billion treating obesity every year. That's crazy. In terms of the environment, we use over a billion gallons of gas more transporting ourselves than we would use if we dialed back our average weight to what it was in the 1960s. We weigh more now. And guess what? It takes more gas to drive around heavy people. And sitting around like Homer, it's really bad for us individually. You know what? There's been loads of studies that have shown that as our weight goes up, you know what goes down? The size and function of our brains. There's a reason Homer's a dope. There really is. Down south at the Mayo Clinic, you know what they have recently said? They have said that sitting is the new smoking. They have calculated that if you sit for a long period of time, if you sit for more than 3 or 4 hours a day, it's equivalent to smoking a pack and a half of cigarettes. I mean, who knew this thing was so dangerous? They should have warning labels on those. And there are just so many benefits, so many health benefits of exercising, of being physically fit. Benefits in terms of having healthier bodies and healthier minds and healthier emotions. How healthy do we want to be? And yet, the truth is, for most of us, Homer's our guy. He is. And we know it's not right. And so we make New Year's resolutions. We do. And that's a good start, right? Practically nobody keeps those resolutions, but it's a start. But what if this year was different? What if this was a different year? In fact, that's one of the main goals of this series of talks that we're going through. How healthy do you want to be? Is that maybe we could focus in on some changes, some really important changes that would make our lives better, that would make them healthier. And actually, this is a really great time to invite a friend, a coworker, a family member to the Vineyard, because they're going to hear about some stuff that is really practical, that would make a real practical difference in their life. And you know what's cool about this? Is it's not just practical. It's also really related to following Jesus. Because the changes that we're after, they're not just changes that make us healthier. They're changes that make us more like Jesus. You see, this isn't what Jesus looks like. No, not Homer Simpson. Homer is the norm in our world that we live in. But Jesus, he is inviting us into a life, to live a life that looks different, radically different than what the norm is. And yes, that absolutely includes with how we treat our bodies. Our bodies are really important. Now, we all know that exercise is good, so this isn't a matter of knowing. This goes deeper. It's a matter of motivation. So maybe by looking at what God says about our bodies, we can find the motivation to exercise. So, first off, if we go to the beginning of the book, God created us, right? God makes our bodies. Our bodies are a gift from him. And we're all responsible for managing our bodies. The Apostle Paul, an early church planter, leader in the church, he wrote to the church in Corinth, and he talked about this. He was talking to them about how their bodies are united with Christ. They're with Christ, and that affects how they should manage their bodies. In particular, they shouldn't be sleeping with prostitutes. Well, in that discussion, Paul says this. He says, and he's quoting the Corinthians. He says, "I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything." Now, Paul's being sarcastic. He's saying that for himself. "I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything." Okay, do you see the larger point that Paul is making here? What Paul is saying is that God, he gives us a ton of freedom with these bodies. Yeah, you can. You have the right to just sit on the sofa. But if we're to manage, if we're to be stewards and trustees of these bodies, then we should treat them in a way that's beneficial for them, in a way that we are not mastered by anything other than our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's saying. Think about it this way. Let's say your parents gave you a present. They gave you a $1 million racehorse, which is incredible. They gave you this beautiful horse. And then one day they stopped by and they found out you weren't exercising this horse. You weren't racing this great beast. No, you had him locked in the basement and he was watching TV and you were just feeding him donuts, nothing else. Now, your parents, they'd probably think you weren't being very responsible with that gift they'd given you. And they might even hold you accountable for that. Same deal with God and our bodies. Yeah, except our bodies are worth way more than any racehorse. And read the Bible. God's already scheduled the time where he's going to hold us accountable. He's going to reward us for the ways we've used, the ways we've managed the gifts that he's given us. Okay, next. We're to honor God with our bodies. Paul, he says, "You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." Okay, some of us look at the mirror. I look in the mirror, and what looks back at me is a weak little pencil pusher. And we think, how? I mean, how could my body honor God, bring him respect and glory? I think others of us, we look in the mirror, and we're like, oh, yeah. I mean, ooh, am I doing this right? We're like, whoa, yeah, I'm so tough. Well, the people that know how to do that right, maybe they might need a little lesson on pride. In all seriousness, though, I think in many churches, when we talk about honoring God with our bodies, it just turns into a talk about sex. And sure enough, here, Paul, he's talking to the Corinthians about sex. He does say, "The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." But honoring God with our bodies, it's not just refraining from inappropriate sex outside of marriage. It's also what we choose to eat and drink, and we'll talk about that next week. It's how we choose to exercise, to move our bodies. Okay, next. We're to worship God with our bodies. So first off, Paul says, Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. Okay, the temple, it was a sacred place where God's people would worship him. Imagine this. This week, you're driving by the Vineyard here, and you look over, you look down, and some vandals have spray-painted swastika and swear words all over the front of the building. I mean, for a lot of us, something would rise up in us. We would be upset. Even angry. We'd want the people who did that to be punished. Well, you know, our bodies are way more sacred, way more important than any church building. How are we treating these temples? Is there any vandalism going on? Is the way we treat them, is it worship in our lives? Okay, next, Paul says in Romans, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. What does that look like? Our bodies as living sacrifices? Are we supposed to like crawl up onto some kind of altar? No, that's weird. Our model here is Jesus. I mean, if we're Jesus' apprentices, we should do what Jesus did with his body. What did Jesus do with his body? Jesus used his body to serve others. He himself said, I have not come to be served, but to serve. This is a terrific reason to get in shape, so that we can now and for a long and healthy life do our best at serving others, that really we can do our best at loving God and loving people. From what God says about them, about our bodies, we can tell that he thinks our bodies are important. Now, I know for some of you here today, you're struggling with your body. Maybe your body's failing you. You know, there's some of us that are sick and or we're in pain. And you know, God cares about that. If that's you, I would like to invite you to stand up right now. Stand up so that we can pray for you, so we can pray for healing in your life. And I know this is a little weird to stand up in a room of people like this, but this is safe. This is a safe place to do that. Go ahead. I know you probably want to be better. So the folks around them, if you could come around them and just ask them what they're struggling with, and maybe ask them if it's okay to put your hand on their shoulder, or maybe to put it on the place where they're hurting, if that's appropriate. So if some folks could come around, each of the people that's standing, that would be terrific. Come on, this is participatory. Join in here. It's going to be easy. I'm going to tell you what to pray in a second. Okay, if you don't have anyone near you and you're waiting for someone to pray for you, raise your hand. That'll make you easier to find. Okay, everybody got someone around them? Okay, someone near them, say a prayer kind of like this, just a simple prayer, like, Holy Spirit, come, bring your healing and your kingdom. In Jesus' name, whatever it is that's wrong with them, be healed. Amen. Just a simple prayer like that. Go ahead and say that. Jesus never used any fancy words. Just go ahead and ask for healing. Okay. For the folks that were prayed for, if you feel like something happened, God did something in your body right now, just raise your hand. God did something in your body. Okay, right there. What did God do?
I feel a peace, and I could feel like warming.
Warming? Who did I see a hand over there? Go ahead, shout out what God did in you. Someone over there raised their hand? I thought I saw a hand. Over here, was there a hand? God did, yeah, go ahead. The pain is gone. Okay. But yeah, that's pretty incredible. Seriously. Now, if you got prayed for healing and you're not totally healed now, I would encourage you to come up at the end of the service and let us pray for you again. Maybe God's got healing for you even later tonight. But I also want to say that we live in this in-between time, right? It's the already of God's kingdom. God's kingdom is already breaking through, and there is healing, as we saw right now. And his kingdom is not yet fully here, and it won't be fully here until he returns. But that doesn't mean God's not doing things. And so I would encourage you to press in to what he is doing in your life. Get some more prayer tonight. But this is also a object lesson that we just had here. I mean, we prayed and someone is free from pain in their knee. God touched their body, their physical body. She felt something in her body as well. God cares about our bodies. Do we? how healthy do we want to be? How healthy do we want to be? Because if we are followers of Jesus, what that means is if we let the Holy Spirit, he will start changing us from the inside out to be more like Jesus. And that includes how we see and how we treat our bodies. You see, for followers of Jesus, the motivation for physical fitness, it's not all the great health benefits. And let me say, God, I know he wants for us. He wants healthy bodies and minds and emotions. All of those are great things. Those are great motivations. But the best reason to get in shape is because we love Jesus. It's because we love Jesus. It's because through physical fitness, we can bring honor and love and worship to God, that we can bring glory to God through the way we treat our bodies. Now, no, God doesn't love you more if you exercise. He doesn't. But I bet if you have a healthy and strong body, if you're treating your body well, it's a lot easier to experience God's love. And even deeper, even more important, if we are treating the gift God gave us well, if we are treating these bodies well, it is a way of saying thank you to him, of loving him back. That's what it's about. Does this make sense? I would invite everyone here to take some time to talk to God about your body. Seriously, tell him what you see when you look at your body. Listen to him, what he sees. Talk about how you're treating your body. Because I'll be honest, this is hard. Our culture appears to be fitness obsessed. There is so much talk about fitness, but in truth, Homer's our guy. Seriously, he's our guy. He's the norm for so many people in America. But again, God, Jesus, he's inviting us to live a life that looks radically different than the norm. Following Jesus should make a difference in our lives, a positive difference. And yeah, that includes in our physical bodies. It really does. So, if I want to love God with my body, if I want to get into shape, how would I do it? Well, that's a great question. It really is, and there's so many ways, and it's so individualistic. I know for me, this last week, I both went to the YMCA, and I tried out CrossFit for the first time with my son. And yes, I am sore, thanks for asking. I overheard my son tell his mother, Dad, he could do everything, but he was just really, really slow. Yeah, I'm no expert on physical fitness. I'm not. But there are so many people out there that can help us. They can. In fact, I would recommend two books to you. One is Everybody Matters, and the other is The Daniel Plan. And The Daniel Plan is actually written by Rick Warren, Pastor Rick Warren, and some fitness experts. And in it, it talks about how when we are children, we exercise. And it's fun. And we don't call it exercise. We call it playing. I love that. I love this line from the book. They say, back then, when we were kids, we called it play, and we loved every minute of it. Today, for many, we call it exercise and count every minute of it, longing for it to be over. We frequently find it painful, boring, or dull, and we feel guilty for not doing it. But God designed us to experience joy. Getting exercise, following Jesus, it takes effort. It does. That's normal. It says in the Bible repeatedly, make every effort. But that's an effort that's to be filled with joy. Now, for many of us, that seems like a crazy thought. And that's because our society, our culture, keeps telling us this lie that effort and sacrifice are bad. They're not. One of the coolest things about following Jesus is that you can experience this incredible hardness, this effort, that it can struggle to do it, but at the same time, it's so much joy, both at the same time. Jesus totally experienced that. You know, I've made one of my workout verses. I've taken as a workout verse Hebrews 12. It says there, "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." Now listen to this part. "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." The joy. "Scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now, this is a crazy verse, isn't it? For the joy, Jesus went to the cross? Yeah. Super hard things and joy go together. Wow. Wow. Now, it seems a little silly to be talking about working out and the cross at the same time, doesn't it? But it is the same principle. And Jesus, I hope you're listening. I would much rather learn this principle working out than being crucified. Just want to be clear about that. So I hope you, I think most of us would. So what is our goal here? Our goal here is to find an exercise routine that we enjoy, that's fun. It's to find movement that we can play at, that can be fun in our lives. So with that goal, the folks that created the Daniel Plan, they come up with a framework. It's really four principles that should be in any effective fitness program. And I'll say that the goal, again, is to find something that we can have fun at that's playful, but they also use PLAY as a handy acronym for the elements that you're looking for. So let's start out with P. P is prayerful movement throughout your day. And here's the good news. You don't have to get sweaty for this. No, you don't have to join a gym. If the chair, if sitting is the new smoking, if this is the danger in our lives, well, then let's just get up off the chair and let's walk around for a minute or two every hour. And you know, the research tells us that that is surprisingly effective. Just a little bit of movement every hour. So, you know, set an alarm, set your phone gadget device to go off. And when it goes off, get up and move. Walk around your house, around your office, stand on one foot, do jumpy jacks, you know, push-ups, dance around, whatever it is, just move. And what a bonus it would be to add prayer to that. Think about that. If you do it prayerfully, if once an hour you were to move, but also to talk to God. Maybe once an hour to tell him about something you're thankful for in your life, or to pray for a different person each hour, or to tell him how great he is in a different way every hour of your day. Oh my goodness, that would be so healthy and so easy, really. And yeah, you can totally play at this. This can be fun. And you can play at it even with other people. So let's try that right now. If you are able, scoot to the end of your chair. Just go ahead and scoot to the end of your chair, okay? And I want you to start, come on, scoot on up. And I want you to start moving your arms and legs like this. See what I'm doing? Go ahead, start moving your arms and legs. Come on, you can do it. We are racing, we are gonna race. And so this is the time to look at the people in your row and do a little trash talking. I'm gonna beat you, and I'm gonna beat you too. Come on, little arms and legs moving. And so what we're gonna do is we're gonna do this for 1 minute, only 1 minute. And it's gonna seem like a long minute, but we're gonna race and see how many of us can keep doing it. Ready, set, go. Okay, here we go. We're going. Come on, the pencil pusher up on the stage is beating you. Let's go. You can move your arms and legs. Come on, just move your arms if you can't move your legs. Or just wiggle your toes. Just some movement for the next minute. What did you do at church this weekend? You got some movement, you got some exercise. These people over here, they're beating all of you. Seriously, this side of the room, you guys should be embarrassed over there. Let's get moving. Oh, holy cow, these folks are going fast. Come on, let's just, if all you can do is move your arms a little bit, just let's get a little bit of exercise. It's not that hard, it's actually fun. Seriously, look at the other people in your row. Look how silly they look. Keep moving. Just get a little bit of exercise. That's all we're after here. This can be fun. You're counting down. We're getting to the end. Who is winning? There, I see some winners. Over there, winners. Let's keep going. Yes, see? Like I said, this can be fun. What have we just done? We've made exercise playful. It's not that hard to make exercise playful. What are we after? Prayerful movement throughout our day. That's P. L. L is loosening brakes. So everybody stand up. Stand up. Turn to your right. Turn to your right. Face this wall over here. Touch your toes. Seriously, they're down there. You can touch them. Come on, let's touch those toes. Touch those toes. Okay, you can go ahead and sit down. What you've just done is a loosening brake. It's just stretching. Our bodies need stretching. They really do. And there's so many ways that we can press into stretching that you can really press into this. But a great start is just to spend 1 to 5 minutes every day stretching, touching those toes. Oh my goodness, they're so far down there. And praying, just 1 to 5 minutes a day. You know, stretching the arms up, maybe doing the arm circles. Oh my goodness, those arms still hurt. Backwards, forwards, it's not that hard. 1 to 5 minutes a day, that's the L. A. A is for active games and aerobic activity. This is where folks get out and they run or they go to exercise classes or they get on those crazy, silly machines that I do not understand. Me, personally, I used to run regularly. We had a dog and actually I would follow after him as he ran. And I loved that dog. I loved running with him, but then he died. And it turned out I didn't really love running. I loved the dog. And I didn't have the motivation to do it on my own. There are people who love running, and if that's you, great. Get out there and run. I know lots of people love it. But if that's not you, just find something that you enjoy doing. It could be anything. It could be tennis or, you know, softball. It could be racquetball or snowshoeing. Or maybe it's something different. Maybe you can get some friends together and play tag or dodgeball or dancing or doing mud runs. What is the best exercise for you? It's the exercise you'll do. It's the one that you enjoy. That's what we're looking for. And in doing this type of aerobic activity, what we're looking for is doing it at least 3 times a week for at least 20 minutes. Now, I know many of you are going, that's crazy talk. At least 3 times a week for at least 20 minutes. For me, I'm regularly exercising now with my son, but it took over a month before I could fit it into my schedule, before I could move stuff around. Don't panic if it takes a while to fit it into your life. For me, what I started doing until I could get it really fit in there is I would just get up early a few mornings a week and I would just run in place for 5 minutes. 5 minutes, it's a little bit of aerobic exercise. The research says it helps. I mean, even if it's just a minute or two of like strenuous chair racing, that helps. It helps. Now, one other rule of thumb with this is that how hard should you do it? You shouldn't do it so hard that you can't talk at all. You know, we're not trying to kill ourselves here. But you do need to actually work at it. If you can hold like a comfortable conversation or if you can sing during this exercise, you need to go faster. Speed it up. Okay, why? Why is youthful strength training? And they call it youthful because this kind of exercise is supposed to help restore your youth. Now, being so sore after trying CrossFit, I kind of question that. But I can see the point. As we get older, our muscles, our bodies get weaker. Let's fight the weakness. And again, do it with something that you enjoy, something that you enjoy doing. My wife and I, we've been down to the Y and we've gone through the circuit of all the different machines and, you know, filling out that yellow or whatever color card it is. It's kind of fun filling it out. I enjoy doing it with her. Actually, I just enjoy her. So that's and so maybe machines aren't your thing, but there's other ways to press into this. Maybe it's rock climbing or whatever you do with that medicine ball thing. That thing always confuses me. Find a way that you can press into getting a little strength training. And the goal here is to do it 2 or 3 days a week. And I know that's my goal, because I need some of that youth return so I can keep up with my children. Wherever you're at, though, this is another one that's easy to start at. So, right now, let's do a little start to this. Go ahead and stand up. Stand up. Okay, sit back down. Now stand up. All right, stand up. Sit back down. Okay, stand up. Okay, if you were to go up and down 10 times, and come on, that's pretty easy, 10 times, and you were to do that 8 times a day, that would be 80 squats. 80 squats, that is great. That's way more than normal. That's more than the average American does, 80 squats a day. Okay, this time though, when you go down, don't let your bum touch your chair. Go down and just kind of hold it above your chair. You can add this to your routine, holding that for 10 or 20 seconds. Do you feel that? You could put that in your routine. Oh, yeah, and I know this would look a little weird at the office, but it could lead to some interesting conversations. Like, yeah, well, what am I doing? I'm doing this. I'm doing this because I love Jesus and he loves my body. And I know that would start out a little weird, but go ahead and sit down. I mean, you could keep talking and it would become less weird. where were we? Oh, play. So this play acronym, it's not magic. It really isn't. It's just a way to help you get and to stay in shape, to come up with a fitness routine that works for you, that's right for you. And again, the key really is playing, enjoying it, finding things you do that you enjoy. And anyone can do this, can start at this. I mean, with things like chair racing and chair squats, and that's pretty accessible. And if you can't do that, you certainly can move an arm, a leg, a foot, something. We need to move our bodies. All right, lastly, before we finish up, what we're going to do is we're going to remember some of the discipleship lessons that you can get from physical fitness. Because the Bible, particularly Paul, talked a lot. They made a lot of references to physical fitness. So for example, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Or here's another place where it talks about physical fitness in the Bible. It says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever." Okay, as we've discussed, our bodies are important. Our bodies really are important. And we honor God. We give him glory with our bodies through physical fitness. And there's more. Paul, he saw that there are things in the process of becoming physically fit, of staying physically fit, there's things in that process that are beneficial for following Jesus generally. So what are some of those things? Well, in both physical fitness and in following Jesus, it can be hard. It takes effort. It takes self-discipline. We've already kind of talked about that, haven't we? Michael, last week, talked about this, how there is nothing biblical about the attitude, just let go and let God. No, the Bible over and over again says, make every effort. Make every effort. God wants us to make an effort, to work at this thing. Now, in churchy talk, I want to add quickly that effort is not the opposite of grace. No, works are. And so God, the Holy Spirit in us, he is the one that brings about all of the positive changes in our lives. He really does. Apart from him, we can do nothing. But with him, we still do something. We do. We open ourselves up for him to bring those changes in our lives, to really change us. Now, in physical fitness, we can experience the hard work, the effort, as well as the joy of doing it. And I think that it helps teach us the self-discipline that really is required for following Jesus, for doing that when it comes to following Jesus. Do you see the crossover there? It's the same principle in both areas. If we can do it in physical fitness, it helps us in following Jesus. Okay, Another way how physical fitness and following Jesus are alike is that in both cases, there's another team on the field. I like the way that Gary Thompson describes this in the book I mentioned before, Everybody Matters. He says, Satan may attempt to ruin one man's ministry by luring him into a financial trap that will ultimately become a crime and thus wreck his business and his reputation. He, that's Satan, may attempt to ruin a woman by gradually filling her mind with thoughts of fantasy towards a coworker and thoughts of malice towards her husband, so that she is weakened and enters into an immoral affair. And he, Satan, may get others to eat one too many bacon cheeseburgers without any corresponding exercise and take them out that way. He doesn't care what brings our ministry to an end. He just wants it to end. Protecting your health is the same thing as protecting the vehicle through which God wants to change the world. See, if Satan can't stop us from following Jesus, you bet he wants to make us useless when it comes to doing anything in his kingdom, in God's kingdom. God cares that we have bodies. So does Satan. There's a very real enemy, hidden at times, but very real. But just resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So, for me, Satan, you can tempt me with all that screen time. You can tempt me with just sitting on the couch. You can tempt me, and this is a big temptation, with just staying in bed, pushing snooze again. Oh, so warm. You can tempt me, but God's inviting me into something better, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to get out of bed. I'm going to exercise. Away, Satan. Because God loves me, and I love him. All right, next. Fitness and following Jesus, they're both group sports. So again, how healthy do you want to be? Maybe today you've already decided, hey, I want to do something. I actually want to be more physically fit. Maybe you hear God inviting you into that. Great, you're hearing his voice. But if you're going to do it alone, if you're going to go after it alone without anyone to support you, anyone to speak God's truth into your life, anyone to hold you accountable, well, good luck. I'm guessing that 6 months from now, you will be 6 months older, and not much will change in your body. If you really want to do this thing, if you want to get more physically fit, if you want to give God glory with your body, then here's what I need you to do. Right now, write down the names of at least two or three people that can do this with you. I mean, seriously, just grab a pen. Grab a piece of paper, write it on your hand. I don't know, write it on your spouse. Write it somewhere. Two or three people who could actually do this with you. They could hold you accountable. And as soon as you can, tell them. Ask them to do that. Invite them into that. And, you know, maybe not right away, but you know what? Those two or three people, that might be a great start to a small group. I mean, you guys could, like, pray and then exercise together and then maybe during the cool down, read the Bible. I don't know, I'm just saying. Small groups are good. Okay, another one. Physical fitness and following Jesus, they're both marked by joy. And I know we already talked about this, but it's worth talking about again. If we're going to be successful in the long term, our motive, our working motive for both physical fitness and following Jesus, it can't be guilt or shame or trying to make ourselves better. It's got to be joy. It's got to be joy. Jesus, he loves us so much. And yeah, he wants us to make an effort. He wants us to achieve things. But if we are missing his joy and his love, we're missing Jesus. For me, I mean, exercised a lot recently. Yeah, my muscles hurt a little bit. But even in the hurting, even in the pain, oh, it's been so much fun. To spend time with my son, to laugh with him together, but also to spend time with my Father, my Heavenly Father, to hear him talking to me about how much he loves me. And yeah, he loves my body. Jesus died to redeem this body, this pencil pusher's body. and I'm going to have a perfected version of this body. I'm stuck with this through all of eternity, and that's pretty cool. But also, as my muscles have hurt a little, it's reminded me of times that my heart has hurt following Jesus. Times when maybe I didn't look up and I didn't see what Jesus was doing and I didn't experience any joy. Or other times when my heart hurt. It hurt when God was really challenging my pride. Or I had to work really hard to love an enemy. God had to really work with me on that. But God was there. And there was so much joy as I saw myself becoming more and more like Jesus. Do you see, in physical fitness, if we can learn to experience the effort, the hard work, and the joy of that, I think that actually trains our hearts to be stronger, to be more flexible for following Jesus. In a way, what it does is it makes us more childlike. Does that make sense? Our bodies matter. Our bodies are so important. And yeah, we're responsible for managing them in a way where we love and we honor and we worship God. And physical fitness is a part of that. It is. We're being invited into something that's different, that is not normal. Really, what we're invited into is to see and to treat our bodies in a way that brings glory to God and joy, real joy, into our lives. Why don't you go ahead and stand up with me? And this is not for exercise. We're actually going to pray now. So we're going to move into ministry time, and we're going to spend some time just talking to God about some of the things we've been talking about today. So Holy Spirit, come. We welcome you here even more. And God, I think maybe because we don't think about our bodies, because of some of the things that have snuck into our thinking from the ancient Greeks, we tend to believe a lot of lies about our body. So right now, Holy Spirit, come and put your finger on some of those lies. Ways we think our bodies aren't important. Put your finger on those lies, whatever they may be, that this isn't for me. No, this doesn't apply to me. This isn't important. You know, I'm in good enough shape already, or oh, I could never get into shape. It's too late for me. God doesn't really, I mean, come on, he doesn't really care about my body. No, God, Holy Spirit, identify those lies that we're believing about our bodies. Come right now. We welcome you here. Highlight the lies and replace them lovingly with your truth. I love, God, how you come and gently point out the lies. Just show us the truth that our bodies do matter, that this is important, that this is for all of us. And then, God, I feel like some of us here tonight, we need to confess. We need to repent of some of the ways that we have abused our bodies. And it could be through lots of things. It could be through sexual sin, through cutting, through substance abuse. There's loads of ways that we abuse these temples of the Holy Spirit. So right now, God, hear our confessions. And by the blood of Jesus, forgive us. There is more than enough to forgive us if we repent and we confess those sins. I welcome you here, Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, bring your joy. I ultimately just ask that each of us feels that joyful invitation to engage with our bodies and with you together. Give us dreams of what we could do in these bodies. Give us excitement for moving our bodies and interacting with you. Help create communities where we can do that. Help us to support each other in this. God, I pray that people will look at folks here and the way they treat their bodies, and they'll go, wait, there's something different about them. What is that? And we can smile and we can say, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. I'd like to invite the ministry team to come forward. And if you want to press into this further, a great thing to do is to get some exercise, to run forward right now and let someone pray for you. Seriously, you can come on up and we'd love to pray for you. Whether it's you're struggling with some lies in your life about your body, whether you have things that you want to confess and move past, or whether you're just excited about what God is inviting you into right now, we'd love to pray and to celebrate that. If you need healing, if you're struggling really in any area of your life, we'd love to pray for that. They're going to lead us in some more worship, and I would just encourage you to stay and listen to God. Listen to what he has to say about your body and how much he loves your body and loves you. Thanks for coming to the Vineyard.